The founding fathers of America gave us a system of government where we are to have liberty under law. In the Declaration of Independence, they refer to the laws of nature and of nature's God. That's not just window dressing, note many scholars. This gets back to the writings of Sir William Blackstone, who wrote about how the Creator has given us natural law and has supplemented it, since this is a fallen world, with divine revelation through the Holy Scriptures. Well, fast forward to today's society, and we seem to be completely cut off from even the idea of natural law. One prominent example of that is in this whole realm of the transgender agenda, and that's what we want to focus on today. A leading critic of this big push to claim that gender is fluid and that a boy can become a girl and vice versa is Terry Schilling, president of the American Principles Project. This is Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and we welcome Terry Schilling back to the program. Terry, thank you so much for being with us.
Thanks so much for having me, Jerry. I love coming on and talking with you.
Okay, well, thank you. And I appreciate what you have to say about these things. And I want you to explain the transgender agenda, but first, do so just in the context of, does this somehow violate natural law?
The easiest way to understand the transgender movement is they are using gender to destroy gender. The transgender activists claim to be pushing medical procedures and protections in law to allow people to transition their gender, when in reality they are erasing people's biological sex. They are sterilizing them and mutilating them to where they're androgynous. That is the nuts and bolts of what we're doing here. And so what the transgender, and it's really not a movement, it's an industry, because they're making billions of dollars a year just from surgeries alone. But what they're trying to do is they're trying to insert gender identity into civil rights law. And that would essentially shape all of society to embrace a genderless future for the country, where there are no men, there are no women, there are only androgynous people. And as Orwellian and dystopian as it sounds, reproduction will be handled scientifically in a lab. They're talking about artificial wombs, but that's getting down but to the bigger point, which is this against natural law? And essentially, and not essentially, but absolutely it is. It's intrinsically disordered. It is erasing God's design. It is erasing nature's design for humanity and biology. Every single animal species on the planet has two sexes, and those sexes are related to the reproductive function. And what these people that are in charge of the transgender industry are trying to do is they're playing God. They are trying to recreate humanity in their image, and that is why it's going to end up in complete disaster. Anytime we reject God's plan and God's design in nature, it ends up having disastrous consequences for humanity.
Well, I'm glad we're actually bringing the God part out of it, because that's the foundation of everything, really. In fact, in Genesis, it says, and then God says, as a kind of the culmination, the climax of his creation, then God said, let us make man in our image. So in the image of God, he made us male and female. He made them. And then he says, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. Well, you can't be fruitful and multiply if there's no reproduction, of course. And this whole transgender thing is it doesn't fit.
No, it does not, Jerry. And you said a very important word, which is Genesis. So gen, G-E-N, the prefix for that word, if you look at it in other words, gender, genesis, generating, it means from the beginning, to start something. So when we use the word gender, it means from the beginning. It means your biological sex from the beginning. And so what essentially these people have done is they have counterfeited that definition and completely redefined it. Gender is the sex that you were born as. It is what you started off as, and it's something that you will never actually be able to change. Now, you can erase your distinctions and sterilize an entire generation, but the consequences of that are extinction. That's essentially where all this leads, is extinction. When you sterilize an entire generation, which is what they're talking about doing, this industry, this gender industry that's been created, they're making $2.1 billion a year, and that's at the genesis of this gender movement. What's it going to look like in 20 years if this movement goes goes unchecked, and they're allowed to give – essentially, I know I'm kind of rambling here, but essentially their argument is that we have to give these gender surgeries. We have to give these gender hormones, these puberty blockers that have devastating consequences to kids, because kids are at risk of suicide and self-harm if we don't. How long before they're able to convince the elites that are in control that every kid should be on puberty blockers until they make a decision about their gender? Or eventually it's harmful to gender anyone, right? That's the real danger here. This is a nightmare. This is a Frankenstein monster of an issue. And I mean that in the very literal sense. Mary Shelley wrote that book, Frankenstein's Monster, about the devastating impact that unchecked scientific advances can have on humanity. And that's what we're seeing play out before us today.
Well, speaking of science, isn't it true that virtually every cell of the human body has markers within it saying whether or not we are male or female? And that's just the way it is.
That is exactly the way it is, Jerry. God has designed it so that we have our gender and our biological sex throughout all of our makeup, and it goes to the cellular level. Now, here's the real problem, though, is that we are rejecting good things, right? There is nothing wrong with being a female. There's nothing wrong with being a male. What's happening is we are confusing our children, confusing adults even, on and convincing them that their biological makeup is an error, that they need to reject that. And in fact, not only reject that, but destroy that. We are rejecting God's gift to us. It is a gift to me that God made me male. It is a gift to my wife that he made her a female and made her a mom. It's a gift to my children that he made them how they are. This is something that we should not give away. Even if the science and the technology were to solve all of the problems that go along with these gender transition surgeries, like the sterilization, like the bone density problems and the early onset osteoporosis and the heart problems that they get from these hormones and surgeries, it still would be a crime against nature and intrinsically disordered, because we are rejecting a gift and a plan that nature has given to us.
Now, you said that this is an industry and there's a profit motive on the part of some, but there are some, I think, do-gooders that are saying, oh, you know, some of these kids get confused. They think, you know, am I a boy in a girl's body, or am I a girl in a boy's body? It's my understanding, historically, any kind of confusion like that, any gender dysphoria or whatever, in the vast majority of the cases, by the time a child reaches puberty, there's no issue. It resolves itself. And now these people are interfering with that process. But going beyond the profit motive that you mentioned, where did all this start? This, I mean, it just sort of came out of nowhere. And all of a sudden you have boys pretending to be girls, and they're beating all the girls in girls' sports because they have a natural advantage as biological males. It's ridiculous. But where did this start?
Well, getting to your earlier point about the costs and the solutions to all of this, there is a very cost-effective, and it's actually a free cure for gender dysphoria, and it is called puberty. Puberty is the natural, free cure to a child's confusion about their biological sex. We've all been through – we all understand that you feel uncomfortable. Your body is changing rapidly. No one likes to feel that way. It's supposed to feel uncomfortable. You're growing. That's a sign of growth, is feeling uncomfortable with something. So that's point one. But then point two is where did this originate? Where did this come from? This comes from progressivism. Now, the basis of progressivism is that humanity needs to be able to progress beyond all barriers, institutions, and laws, including one's own body, including one's own country, including one's own family or marriage or relationships. Anything that you have that you are tied to should be able to be, you should be able to be freed from and conquered. And that includes laws that govern society, includes laws around protecting children from sexuality. Progressives, at their root, they believe that you should be able to end your own life if you want. You should be able to liberate yourself from your own body, from your life, but also from your gender, from your biological sex. And so they embrace technological advances that we have seen throughout the last few decades in American history that allow you to mutilate your body and make you look more like a woman or more like a man. It's artificial, it's counterfeit, and the consequences are devastating. It's a shorter lifespan. It's the inability to ever produce offspring of your own, and it's even more and more so that's coming out in the press, it's a lonely lifestyle. Transgender individuals or people that identify as such complain and talk about how lonely they are because they cannot find a sexual partner. They cannot find a relationship partner. Their community is artificial. It's primarily online. And so essentially that's the answer to that question is, this is rooted in progressivism. They want to progress beyond all barriers, including biological sex, including gender. Judith Butler, the architect for the academics behind the transgenderism ideology, said very clearly in one of her books, we need to use gender in order to destroy gender. That is what transgenderism is all about.
Wow, that's crazy. Okay, we have about 3 minutes left or so. You mentioned online. Social media, I'm sure that plays a huge role. In fact, Abigail Schreier's incredible book about this whole issue, what's it called, Irreversible Damage? But she uses the word craze. This is a craze. It's a fad. But through social media, a lot of girls feel like, oh, this is what I need to do in order to be accepted. And many of them are autistic. So it's really sad. It's a terrible fad we're seeing right now.
Well, we all know intrinsically that social media has had a net negative effect on young girls, especially when it comes to their bodily image. We see this all the time. Women have always been subject, primarily more so than boys, to discomfort with their body image and trying to alter it. That's why, 90% plus of anorexia victims and bulimia victims are women, not men. And essentially what we're seeing play out is this whole transgender movement has now taken over anorexia cases. So you're seeing anorexia cases decline and rates of gender dysphoria increase. And it's because this has taken over as a social contagion. Now, the reality is that the whole transgender movement exploded with the advent of social media. They didn't have the resources or the means to propagate the ideas of transgenderism until social media was invented. Essentially, what they've created is billions of different channels for people to receive information and to send information from. And that's why we're seeing the rise of transgenderism is because it's never been easier to reach other people's children or other individuals with harmful ideas. And these social media companies have protected transgender ideology while at the same time censoring and cutting out the opponents and the critics of trans ideology. And so essentially, social media is the primary reason why we have seen such an explosion in transgender identification up until the last 10 years.
We only have about a minute left. I understand there's a lot of young kids that have gone down the road, down that way, and now they are trying to detransition and they can't get their body parts back, and it's just a mess.
It's absolute. The detransitioners have such a horror show ahead of them. They are receiving no support. They are receiving no awareness. The transgender movement shuts these people down. The mainstream media, the corporate media, does not tell their stories like they do the transgender movement. The idea, this is such a small population, Jerry. It's less than 1% of the population that identify as trans. The idea that you are going to silence any voices of people that have come to reject their sex change procedure says that there's a real agenda here. And it's not just an agenda to make money. It's an agenda to reshape humanity in these progressive activist image. And we need to give all the support we can to these detransitioners to help get them the lawsuits and the support that they need. These people are going to be what bankrupts and ends this harmful and evil ideology and industry because they are wreaking so much havoc that we need to make sure that they are able to get paid for the damages that have been inflicted on them and the consumer fraud that they have been victim to.
AmericanPrinciplesProject.org for more information. Terry, thank you so much. All the best.
Thanks, Jerry. We'll see you.